Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Blessing us, and thank you for leading us. Thank you for reviving us. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for making us so ready, so just on key and on point to do what you need done in these last days. And right now, as your word is given, as you've chosen me as the delivery man, in the name of Jesus Christ, let your word be powerful and let it speak forth like never before, and let it bring transformation and reformation for you, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. God is so good, and we're talking about his last day church. I am so fired up about his last day church because I'm living in the time of the last day church. And if I'm living at the time of the last day church, and I believe that I am with God and in God, then I am a part of his last day church. Amen? And remember, his last day church is not confined to a denomination. Because you're going to find in any denomination, you're going to find individuals who are saved and individuals who are lost. At the very, very end, right before Christ comes, I don't even know if there's even going to be any denominations. We don't know what's going to happen. Amen? We don't know if there's going to be a Seventh-day Adventist church. We don't know if the government will shut us down. We don't know. Okay? But God has his church. He has his people that he calls his church. And as I said before, that there is no other denomination on earth that best fits the characteristics of the remnant church as given in the Bible than the Seventh-day Adventist church. Are you with me? All right, but being a part of that church does not mean that you're saved. Is that right? And if a person who belongs to this church is not saved, that person is not a part of the remnant. Because everybody, the Bible says, the remnant shall be saved. And so you look at God's church, his church that he left it. I just got to go here and just see what the next slide is. There we go. The church, this woman of Revelation 12, and we can turn there. Verse 1 represents the church that was pure, the church that was not mixed up. You got that? That's the church, the pure church, the church that's represented as a woman that's pure in white raiment on the moon with this a crown of 12 stars on her head. This represents the church of God that was uncorrupted, the church of God that was not deceived or fell to the deceptions of the devil. This is it. And you go to the end of the book of Revelation, Revelation 22 and verse 18. Let's turn there in our Bibles. Revelation 22, chapter 22 and verse 18. The Bible says here that I testify unto every man that hears the word of the prophecy of this book. Isn't that what we're studying? The prophecy of this book. So he says here, I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. So he's speaking to us. And he says here, if any man shall do what? Shall add to these things, God shall add to him what? The plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Okay? This is so powerful. And Elijah, I want you to do me a favor. I want our young people to hear this. I know they have a meeting, but I want them in here. They're in the auditorium, and just tell them that this message is tailor-made for them, and I want them in here because they need to hear this. What are some of the things that individuals have added to the Word of God that's not in the Word of God that we've talked about through these prophecy seminars? Sunday keeping. Sunday is a holy day. Infant baptism. What's another one? The secret rapture. Not just the rapture, because we are going to be raptured, but the secret rapture. Okay? What else? Eating unclean foods. Okay? Those are things that individuals have added to the Word of God. Another one is the immortality of the soul. That when you die, your soul lives on. Those things are not in the Bible, but there are things that churches today teach as if they are in the Bible. So God says, if you add to the prophecies of this book, He's going to add to you the plagues that are written in this book. And none of us want that, do we? Yes. Yes. When you die, you go straight to heaven. Okay? And these are things they've added. Now, the Bible says, if you take away from the book of this prophecy, God shall take away His part out of the book of life. Okay? Either your sins are blotted out or your names are blotted out. And I don't want my name to be blotted out. And so, here, He is saying, what are some of the things that they have taken away from the Word of God that's in the Word of God? All right. That's an example of something they've added. What's an example of something that they've taken away, or taken out of the Word of God, and saying that this doesn't apply anymore, or you don't have to do this? Keeping the seventh day Sabbath. What else? Something they've taken away. The Ten Commandments. Okay? There are some churches they've taken away salvation by grace. All right? There's some churches they've taken away that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. All right? They add stuff and they take stuff away. And God says if you do it, you're in jeopardy. Your soul will be lost. So again, this particular church represented the early church of the first century, which we read about in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, that's the church. It's pure. It hasn't added anything. It hasn't taken any away. The very way that God left the church, that's the way the church was written about in the book of Acts. Can you say amen? But through the centuries of time, all right, this is what the church has become to. Corrupt. This woman, pure, simple, undefiled, okay, faithful, representing God, representing Jesus Christ, representing the Holy Spirit, through the centuries of men adding to the Bible, taken away from the Bible, that this church, looking like this, has now become like this. And you'll find that there in Revelation 17, in verse 4, a woman arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having the golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Spiritually corrupt, spiritually filthy, spiritually abominable. And the Bible says anytime you add to the Word of God and things that are not in the Word of God, anytime you take away from the Word of God things that are in the Word of God, you have committed spiritual fornication. You got that, everybody? And that's what has happened. That's what has happened. And so God says, I will have a remnant. The remnant, as we said, is going to be a part of the original. You got that? Revelation 12:17 says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with who? The woman? No, it didn't make war with the woman. What did he do with the woman? What did he do with the woman? That's what he did with the woman. You got that? He doesn't have to make war with this, because this now is one with him. You got that? And we got to be so careful in this world that we live in that we don't become one with the devil. All it took was one pluck of a tree that God says, thou shalt not eat thereof. And look how we, this world, became one with the devil. Never ever must be compromised. Never ever must be risk doing something God says don't do, or not to do something he said we should do. Amen? This is what it has become. The dragon was wroth with the woman, and that's why he corrupted her. If you can't beat them, what do? Join them. And went to make war, though, not with the woman, but the remnant of her seed. Because the remnant of her seed does not look like this, rather like this. The remnant of her seed looks like this. And that's who he's mad with. Anytime you stay pure and you stay with Christ, the devil is mad with you. Who are they? Who is this remnant of her seed? The Bible describes them. Look at it. It says, which keep what? Of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You must not forget the faith of Jesus. You see? This is the time of the remnant. This is a group of people who are a part of the original. They're not a part of this. This is the corrupt part. They are a part of this. Okay? They look just like it. Everything this church did, the remnant does. Come on and say amen. And so today, we want to talk about the special blessing that God has reserved for the remnant. Amen? And as we see here, there's always two sides. Woman's seed, Satan's seed. All right? And it came through all the false teachings and belief system of what? Power. The Antichrist, but that's the seed, but it started where? It started in Babylon, or the Tower of Babel. Okay, that's where it started. And we must be so careful not to get corrupt with the teachings of Babel. Because I'm telling you go to some churches today, and I'm talking about even some Seventh-day Adventist church, it's confusion when you get in there. And Babylon represents what, everybody? Confusion. And we must be so careful that we must not be confused. The Bible says that they were all in one accord in one place. That's not confusion, is it? Amen? And all those corrupt teachings of Babel, that I'm independent, I can make it on my own, I can do my own thing, I don't need God, I don't need you, I don't need my parents, I don't need the teacher, I don't need all this stuff you're giving me, I can make it on my own. That's the corrupt teachings of Babylon. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Okay, this big picture of this is, the big picture is this. Satan has deceived the world to follow the false teachings of Babylon, all in the name of the Lord. Papal Rome has been the vehicle to bring in these deceptions by clothing error and false teachings in garments of truth. It's right there. It's right there. And that's what it has become. Now remember, there's two ways you can become a part of this. By believing it, or by... You ever heard of that phrase? I don't like using movie titles, but this one fits well. Sleeping with the enemy. Okay? You know who the enemy is. You don't believe the enemy, but you're sleeping with him. That's spiritual fornication. All right?
double agent. And it's so easy to get this. The Bible says it can get in your forehead or in your hand. And listen, beloved, if you're not loyal to God now, what makes you think you're going to be loyal to Him then? If it's so easy for you to compromise now, what makes you think you won't compromise then? Don't risk getting the mark of the beast in your hand. Not a single person here today can get it in their head, because you don't believe the junk of the beast power. You know what is right. You've been taught what is right. You cannot get it in your head. But whether you get it in your head or in your hand, guess what? You're in the same camp. Isn't that right? And that's why I say, so help me God. I don't want to miss out on this. Amen? Praise be to God. So, a woman, the church that is true to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And that's the powers that the devil used to maintain, to keep his corrupted belief system. He used these powers to do it. This was not just people who ruled the world. No, they were used to perpetrate the corrupt teachings of Babylon from the Tower of Babel. The kingdom of the empire of Babylon, the empire of Persia, empire of Greece, empire of Rome, and then the divided kingdom. And the devil saw he was losing ground, so he's not going to just roll over and die, is he? What's he going to do? He's going to find a way to still keep these corrupt teachings. And he went through the divided countries of Rome. And the Bible says that a stone came and destroyed all of this. The stone is what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? So here we have, we're down here. We're living literally down here. If you look at this image, you see the time scale from 605 BC all the way down to 476 BC. The divided kingdoms, this was talking about right here, is down. That's what this part of the image, the feet, mixed with the clay and iron, that's where we are. And someone said, we're not just in the feet, we're down to the toenails. That's how late in the history of time we are living. Okay, so the Bible talks about all these things, that this kingdom will rule the world, this kingdom will rule the world, then this one, then no other kingdom will rule the world, but they'll be divided, and then they'll try to cleave together, but they're not. But then after that, the second coming of Christ comes. What does that tell us now? We're not living in the time of Babylon, Persia, Greece, or Rome. We're living right now in the time of the toes, beyond the toes. You got that? As a matter of fact, we're living in a time after the beast was healed in 1929. So we need to wake up and be about our Father's business. Now let's take our handout. Some of you came in just a little later. Let's give them, make sure they get a handout. I want you to get this because this is so important. Because we're talking about how the remnant can be the remnant. And I believe that when God did something powerful in the Bible, He did it to preserve the remnant. And we're going to see how we can receive that today as well. Okay, I'm going to read this paragraph. It says, as a remnant church, most of us are spiritually living in the era between what, everybody? The Ascension and Pentecost. And we are attempting to do with pre-Pentecostal power what can only be accomplished with what, everybody? Post-Pentecostal power. You got that? Okay, so in other words, what I'm saying is that spiritually, most of us are living between the era of the ascension of Christ and the and Pentecost. Let me break that down for you. Okay? That's it right there. Now, this represents the crucifixion. Were the disciples happy or sad at the crucifixion? Very sad. Sad, delusional, despondent, feel like giving up. Okay? Were they sad when he was buried? Right. Now, were they sad when he rose again? Were they happy, rather, when he rose again? Yes, they were. That's the empty tomb representing the resurrection. Okay? Now, there are some people living between, spiritually living in between the crucifixion and the resurrection. In other words, spiritually, they have not gone beyond the resurrection. Spiritually, they're still in the gloom of the cross. Spiritually, they have no joy in them. But the Bible says he is what? Risen. Therefore, there ought to be joy in our hearts. Can you say amen? Believing that he's no longer in the tomb. He's no longer bottled up here on earth. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. You got everybody? Okay, that's the resurrection. All right, so I'm breaking down how to explain to you how some of us, most of us are living, I believe, between the ascension and the, what did I say? Pentecost. All right, here's the resurrection. Now, here's the ascension. All right, now, were they happy or sad at the ascension? All right, I would venture to say they were both happy and sad. There was a mixed feelings. He was there for 40 days with them, walking around, eating, preaching, and teaching. And they, you know, now he had to leave them. And they were like, huh? He's going. All the other times that he left us, we didn't know he left. He just showed up. Then he left, and we just didn't see him again. Have you seen him? No. He ain't up nobody's house. And then all of a sudden, he would appear. 40 days he did that. Now he ascended. He left them for good, and the Bible says that the way he went up, the angel says, why stand ye gazing? The same Jesus that is ascended to heaven will come again in the same way that he's leaving. Okay? So that message and that hope is like, wow, he is coming back. Everything he said now makes sense. So there was a level of excitement, and that's the ascension. So this spiritual excitement that people have after Christ has ascended, they were happy because the thing that the message and the sermons of every single church after this, you know what it was? The title? He is risen. They had songs. He is risen. Everything. He is risen. He is risen. They were so happy. But Jesus Christ was saying, man, that's good excitement, but I got something even better. And what was that? Huh? Before that, it was what? Pentecost. Okay? Pentecost. All right? Pentecost. So what I'm saying is that you have the four there, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and Pentecost. Okay? Spiritually, check this out now. Look at this. Spiritually, some people are living here. You got that? Have you ever met some doom, gloom Christians? Some sad Adventists? You ever met them? Yeah. Right here. They're living right here. Then you get the folk who living right here between the resurrection and the ascension. You know, it's like their power only goes so far. Okay? But what I'm saying is that many people have passed living between the crucifixion and resurrection, between the resurrection and the ascension spiritually, and they live in between the ascension and Pentecost. Let me break that down for you. When the disciples were in the upper room, were they living, let me ask you this, what era were they living in between? Anybody else? What era were they living in? When they were in the upper room. Which one? Were they here? All right, raise your hand if you think they were here. All right, raise your hand if you think they were here in the upper room. Raise your hand if you think they were here in the upper room. All right? Now remember now, this in the upper room, Jesus had already ascended. And that was after they left that mount that they went to the upper room. He said, go there and pray for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. So this is where they were, praying. Now let me ask you this. Was the Holy Spirit present with them? The answer is yes. Next question. Was the Holy Spirit in them? The answer is no. Okay, why would you say no? Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of John. John chapter 14. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit being present with you and the Holy Spirit being in you. This is where they were in the ascension, in between the ascension and Pentecost. And here it says in John chapter 14 and verse 17. Well, 16 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. We know the comforter from verse 26 is who? Is who? All right. Give you another comforter is the Holy Spirit. Verse 26 says, the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. You got that? Then it says here that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit is actually called the Spirit of truth sometimes. Then he says, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him because he what? He dwells with you and shall be where? In you. He wasn't in them yet, but he says he shall be in you. And let's go to another text in the Bible in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we're going to go to verse 37. Excuse me, John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 37. It says here, in the last day, the great day of the feast, what did he do? He stood up. He cried loud. He says, if any man thirst, let him come after me and drink. Now, I want you to get this picture quickly. You know, it sounds okay because we see Jesus is saying it. We believe in Jesus Christ. And so if he says it, it's cool, right? We don't see anything wrong with that. But guess what? Suppose we had a communion service and one of the members just got up and with a loud voice and just started, you know, crying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come after me. What would you think of that person? You would say, my goodness, we had a beautiful communion service and this person is spoiling it. Amen? You see, and to many people, Jesus was just the son of Joseph, the carpenter's son. And this is early in his ministry, so a lot of them didn't even know him yet. But he said this. Read on. He says in verse 38, he that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And then says, man, would you be quiet? What is this guy saying? Okay. But he was saying something powerful. But look at this in verse 39. Everybody look at verse 39. But this he spake of what? The Spirit. Which they that believe on him should receive. Look at that last sentence. Because it says here, for the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost was not yet, what everybody? Given. Because Jesus was not yet, what everybody? Glorified. So when they were in the upper room, the Holy Spirit was with them, but not in them. He told them to go to Jerusalem so that you will receive the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit. Is everybody right there? So now they are in the upper room and they are living in this section right here. Do you see that? They're praying. The Holy Spirit is with them. Desire of Ages, or Acts of the Apostles, says Acts of the Apostles is a good book to get. If you really want to get down with the book of Acts, read the book Acts of the Apostles. Powerful book. Okay? In that book, it talks about how they were confessing their sins. In that book, it talks about how they were making things right. Things that were wrong. How many of them were in the upper room? It wasn't just 12 of them, it was 120. Could you imagine that? 120 people confessing, praying, and just repenting and asking God for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Asking for it. This is where they're living. Now, some of us, we're still doing that. The Holy Spirit is with us. We feel His presence. But for some Christians, the Holy Spirit has not yet come into them. And they're satisfied with just having the presence of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Now, this is a message that a lot of people are not going to accept readily. Because they believe that having the Holy Spirit with them and being able to read the Bible and be blessed by it, feeling the inspiration that the Holy Spirit gives you, even the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they feel that's okay. They feel that, you know, that's authentic, and it is authentic, but that's not enough. God says, I have more for you. Why are we going to want to ride a raggedy old bicycle? And God says, I got a limousine for you to ride in. Amen? So the question is, where are we living today? Are we just living with the presence of the Holy Spirit? Because you can have your devotions. You can have a nice walk with God. Just with the presence of the Holy Spirit. God says He has more for us. He wants to have the Holy Spirit to be in us. Remember what He said to John the Baptist? When John the Baptist says, they come one after me, who will not only baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. That's what God wants for His children, to be baptized with the Spirit and with fire. Amen? We need to go past that time of just praying with the presence of the Holy Spirit and praying with the Holy Spirit in us. And the only way you get the Holy Spirit in you, let's turn to Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Zechariah is two books before Matthew. So if you find Matthew, all you got to do is just skip past Malachi and right into Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. It says here, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the, what everybody? Latter rain. We know that the latter rain is equated with the baptism and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then it says that God, it says, so the Lord shall make what, everybody? Bright clouds. He will even customize the clouds just for you so that rain can pour down on you. The rain represented the Holy Spirit, and you can be filled. Amen? He said He will give them showers and to everyone grass in the field. In other words, grass represents the fruit of your labors, that you will grow and you will be fruitful for God. I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's go now to the book of Acts. Let's go now to the book of Acts very quickly. And let's go to Acts chapter 1. The Bible says there that as they went to Jerusalem, they asked for the Holy Spirit. They did that for 10 days. 10 days. Now, I don't know how many of you are actually doing a media fast this week. How many of you are actually doing a media fast this week? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I tell you, I've not done one in a long time, and I so badly needed it. I praise God for it. It's been a blessing to my soul. Amen? And God told me just throw in a food fast in there as well. And oh my goodness, I'm just having a powerful time with the Lord. And if you all haven't done it, I want to encourage you to do it. what is there when God wants to flood your soul with so much spiritual blessing? What is there in media that you love so much that you just can't divorce yourself from it just for a season so that you can be so spiritually blessed? And there he says, they're asking, they're praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It only comes to those who ask for it. It only comes to those who really want it. 10 days, 120 people were in one place, in one accord, asking for the Holy Spirit. It's very difficult to even get 12 people in the church to agree together. Isn't it? Yeah. Very difficult. Revelation repeats over and over again, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. In verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, it says, you shall receive power. The Holy Spirit coming upon you. That's the literal translation. It's not after that the Holy Spirit comes on you. The translation said the Holy Spirit coming upon you, meaning he comes upon you continually. Christ's Object Lessons, page 139, says daily Jesus received the outpouring. As a matter of fact, it said daily he asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want that power in my life because I was born as an enemy of God. I was born with all kinds of tendencies inside of me. Amen? I inherited all the, you know, we talked about those neural pathways in our brain. You know, we talked about those, how everything we say, everything we hear, everything we do, everything we think is recorded right in those neural pathways. And if we keep doing it over and over again, it gets thick, and those strands that we showed you on the slides some time back, it can get thick and thick and thick of something that we do repetitively. Well, guess what? You have inherited neural pathways from your ancestors. You have tendencies in there. You can't even explain it. There's individuals, all they got to do is take one little drink and they won't stop until they pass out. And they can't explain it. Well, if they go back in their ancestry tree, if they look at their genogram, they'll find they had uncles, aunts, they had grandfathers, grandmothers who were alcoholics. We inherit that stuff, and then we learn, pick up the stuff ourselves, don't we? You know, we learn, pick up all the bad habits. It's like we see the mistakes of others, and instead of shunning them, we want to live them and do them all ourselves. But it creates neural pathways. We were born that way. The Bible says you shall receive power. This is the most powerful word for the word power listed in the Bible. 120 times he tells us this word is a dynamite, explosive power. So I don't care what you've inherited. I don't care what you've been brought up around. I don't care what anybody taught you anything or anybody initiated you with anything. I'm going to give you power. The Bible says, power that you can withstand anything and anyone, whether you inherited it or whether you cultivated it. Come on and say amen. That's the power, he says. And then you go there in verse 14. He says, these all, in verse 14 of Acts chapter 1, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. You know, a lot of people ask the question, were there cars in the Bible? Did they drive cars? All right, here the Bible says they were in one accord. They were driving a Honda. They were in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. 120 of them. Verse 15, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of these together were about 120. Praying, supplicating, asking, interceding, confessing, repenting. The Holy Spirit was with them when they did this, but not in them. So don't you ever get mistaken. Don't you ever feel satisfied with just the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's powerful, but it's not enough. For the remnant, God says the Holy Spirit has to be where? In you. Do you believe that those people who were being burnt at the stake, those individuals who were threatened with their own lives and literally some people, some of them ripped apart, they will put a chain around this hand with handcuffs, then they'll put another chain around this hand with handcuffs, and then they will tie that chain to a horse on this side, and they will try to tie the chain to another horse on this side, and then each a man on this side and a man on that side will whip the horse. The horse will just start breaking to a gallop, and what will happen to that man? He'd be ripped apart. And then he said to him, all you have to do is say you don't believe in the Bible. It's not enough just to have his presence with us. God knows that his remnant church has got to have the Holy Spirit in them. But what is the remnant church doing? Are we asking daily to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? If we're not, we are living between the ascension and Pentecost. And we are likened unto the five foolish virgins who had what, everybody? What did they have? Did they have lamps? Come on, did they have lamps? What does the lamp represent? Huh? What does the lamp represent? No, not the Holy Spirit. The lamp represents the Word of God. Okay? The five foolish virgins had their lamps. They have the Word of God. They're reading the Word of God. The five foolish virgins are not backsliders. They're not wannabe Christians. They're faithful in attending church. They're faithful in returning tithes and offerings. They are faithful in being participating in church and using their gifts. They are faithful in teaching and reading and practicing the Word of God. They have the Word of God. They have their lamps. But guess what? The lamps are empty. Has no oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. That parable of the 10 bridegrooms, let me ask you this. Is that a parable of the last days? Is that a parable that depicts the time right before Jesus comes? Is it? You better believe it, because the bridegroom represents who? Jesus Christ. And the coming, when it says, behold, the bridegroom comes, what does that represent? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Do you see how serious this is, beloved? And the question I ask you, are you asking for the presence and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life? It's not just enough just to have him with you. You've got to have him in you. And you won't have him in you unless you ask him to have him. You've got to ask earnestly. When the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, the literal translation is ask and keep on asking. It's what we call in the Greek grammar is called the present active indicative. It's something that is an action that is continuing and does not stop. You ask and keep on asking, and you shall receive and keep on receiving. Seek and keep on what? Seeking, and you shall find and keep on finding. Then it says knock and keep on knocking, and you shall, the door shall be opened, and keep on opening. Guess what? If I ask for something, let's say what I need is right there where that organ is, and I'm asking for it. I want it. I've asked God. I would like to have that. But I'm over here. So if I'm over here and it's over there, I've got to ask for it, right? Okay, now what does the word seek mean? This word seek means I've got to move from where I am. Come on and say amen. God is going to accept me the way I am, but he's not going to let me to stay the way I am. I've got to seek it. Seek it means I've got to put one foot in front of the other. I've got to seek it. I've got to find it. I go this way. You know that thing that goes where you have that monitor that detects what you want, and you point it this way, and you go, do, do. So I know it's not over here. Do, 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 do. So I know this is the direction. I've got to what, everybody? Seek it. I've got to go in the direction of it. Seek it means you got to move. You got to really want it. You got to make an effort and move to get it. Do you have tendencies in your life? Do you have things that's happening to you that you're trying to stop it and it just doesn't seem to stop? Well, you got to go do more than just ask God. You got to seek God. Amen? Seek means you're moving towards it. Seek means it's holding you back. Stuff is holding you back. Stuff is getting inside of your way. Seek, I don't care what's in my way. I'm going to keep on going. And here I am because I've sought it. Amen? The Bible says if you seek it, you shall find it. But guess what? Here I am. I'm right at it. But there's this big old door right before it. I've asked. I've done my seeking. But what I got to do? What I got to do, everybody? Got to knock and keep on knocking. Amen? And the Bible says the door shall open and keep on opening because there are several doors. Got to keep on knocking. Amen? Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. This is where Christ wants us. He wants us living between Pentecost and the second coming of Jesus Christ. The people who are living in between that era are people who are asking to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen? When I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit, I cannot remain the way I am. It's impossible. I'm born again not only of water, which represents justification, but I am born again of the Spirit, which represents sanctification. Can you say amen? That's the only way the remnant is going to survive. Don't let the times we're living in fool you. God gave it plain. He says there were five wise and five otherwise. Come on and say amen. All right. They all slept. They all slept. But then behold, the bridegroom comes. The sleeping time is over. Do you think the loud cry that the bridegroom is coming, do you think that cry is going out right now? Yes, it is. It's no time to sleep. Wake up. Trim your lamps. Amen. But you don't want to have to grab your lamp and find there's no oil in it. You had the lamps all along. Had the word of God all along, listening to prophecy after prophecy all along, but don't have the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And I appeal to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Become a part of that remnant. Don't try to be like other people. Become a part of the remnant. Amen? And ask to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't get all the correct truths, all that knowledge, and still be lost. What happens when they were lost and left out? The bridegroom came and left. What did they do? What did they do? They went to others that sold the Holy Spirit and went to buy it of them. And then they came back with their lamps, with oil in it. And they say what? Let us in. Say, I don't know you. Depart from me. How many of us want to hear those terrible words? Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. Amen. And don't look for anything, you know, super grandiose to happen. You know, today I think I'm just going to walk on water. No. The Holy Spirit is the one who determines what happens. And there are people, ever since the day of Pentecost, there are people who've been trying to duplicate the day of Pentecost. There are people who've been trying to duplicate all those signs and wonders. There are people who've been trying to duplicate the tongues and the speaking in tongues. And today, where people think that this speaking in tongues was some unintelligible language, language that was not spoken. It was not. It was languages, because the Bible says every man heard them speak in his own language. Okay? People trying to duplicate it, replicate. They're going and buying oil. Don't try to be like them. Don't look at it on the TV. Come on and say amen. I don't care how good their band sounds. I don't care how good the preaching is. I don't care how filled their church is. Don't look at that garbage. You pray and ask for the Holy Ghost. You mean it and believe it, and it's in you. And this is what will happen as we close. This is what will happen. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost came, then suddenly there was a sound of a what? Rushing mighty wind. There was no wind, just a sound. Got it? A sound of a rushing mighty wind. I mean, how many of you ever heard a hurricane? I mean, in real life. How many of you ever heard a tornado in real life? All right, I've been in a storm, you know, where the lightning is crashing and the thunder is roaring and all this, but I don't want to ever be in a hurricane or a tornado. I've been where we had a tornado warning and the sky was like it was an eerie green, and they told us it was coming right at us. But never have I been in where they hear that. They say it sounds like a train. The rattling and the roaring of a train coming closer and closer and closer. I don't want to ever do it. That's the sound they heard. The sound of a violent windstorm. That's what happens. Then it says that he sent them tongues of fire on their heads. How many were in the room? 120. Now, I would guess, how many candles do you think they used, the average person back those days used to light their room? The average person, one or two. All right, and even if you are outside and you see somebody inside and it's dark, the candle is lit, are you going to see that the candle is lit from the outside? Yes, you are. They didn't have no windows. They had shapes of a window, but no glass. You can see it. Okay, now imagine if you had 120 lights in one room. I don't think anybody in those days ever lit 120 candles. So imagine how bright that place was, just brilliant, just blazing with light. Okay? And then he sent them the gift of speaking in different languages. Check this out real quick. The Holy Spirit came into them at that point. So the question is, why did he send the sound of a mighty rushing wind? Why did he send the fire on their heads? One reason, and one reason only. And the same way he will do for you. He realized that the Bible says that there were Elamites, people from Cyrene, Egypt, Mesopotamia. They were from Phrygia. They were from Elam. Different places all around, going almost as far as India, to the east of India, and going to the southeast of Rome and Italy, and then given Ethiopia and Egypt. These are people who were all Jews, right? All Jews that came to Jerusalem once a year to celebrate what? The Passover. Jesus says, I need to reach all these people. They don't speak Hebrew. They don't speak Aramaic. Amen? I need to reach them. And so he said, I got to what? Attract them to where the 120 is. I don't have the time to get the 120 to seek them out. They're going to come where the 120 is. So how do I attract them there? The Bible says the sound of a rushing mighty wind was in the house. Wasn't around the house, wasn't in the neighborhood, it was in the house. When God blesses you, he's going to bless you, not going to bless the person next to you. Come on and say amen. It was in the house, and because they were in the house, the people came to where the noise were. That's why he sent the noise, because he wanted to get all those different people from all those different nationalities right there in the house. You got it? Now, which house is it? When you hear that big, loud noise, you know, it's like, have you ever been at a traffic light and then somebody drives up to you and all you hear is boom, 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 boom. Just somebody just blasting their eardrums out with music and you're trying to figure out which car it is. You ever try to figure which car it is? You know, you try to look for the coolest car, right? With the biggest rims, you know, dark windows, and you see quite a few cars that kind of look cool. And he's like, man, which I wish they would just turn that thing down. Well, when the Lord loud noises come in, which one is it? You really don't know. Is it this house? Is it that house? But guess what? When you see the brilliant light, no question, you're going to go right where the light is. Come on and say amen. That's why he did it. And when they got there, every man heard them speak in their own language. What did they hear? This is the part where we come in. They heard the wonderful works of God. They were not given a Bible study in the upper room when God gave them the gifts of tongues. Bible studies is the greatest thing I've ever seen. But that, there's a time and place for that. The first thing that people need to hear when they come to you and you're filled with the Holy Ghost is your testimony. The testimony, Sister Cheadle, about the wonderful works of God in your life. That's all they need to hear. Nobody can argue with all that. Nobody can say, no, you were not. No, you did not have any cancer. Nobody can say that God didn't heal you from cancer. Nobody can say that you were in an accident and that didn't happen to you. The wonderful works of God. What is the wonderful works of God in your life? What is the wonderful works of God in my life? What can I say? Do I have to go way back in 1990 something? No, they need to hear the wonderful works of God happening in my life right now. Been preaching this thing for over 23 years, but right now, still the wonderful works of God. Not no hot pie in the sky, you know, experience. Real stuff. I can tell men, I'm tempted just like you. Amen. When I see half-clad ladies walking down the street, I'm tempted too. That's right. But I see God has worked in my life. He has brought me from that I once was so perverted and corrupted in sin that I would lust after those things. Now I no longer lust after those things. I am desiring only the presence of God in my life. Wonderful works of God. Come on and say amen. That's the first testimony people need to hear. That's it. And you don't have to seek them out, Brother Derek. They'll come to you. Why? The Holy Spirit will create an attraction in you, just like he did back then. And if you need some noise, he will give you noise. If you need some light, he will give you light. Whatever you need to attract people to you so they can come and hear the wonderful works of God, he will do the attraction. Come on and say amen. That's our message for tonight. How many of you want to put some oil in your lamps? You can't just have a container of oil. Got to have it in your lamps. Got to have the Word of God. Got to have the Holy Ghost. How many of you want to say, by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, I'm going to ask and keep on asking. I'm going to seek and keep on seeking. I'm going to knock and keep on knocking by the grace of God. Keep your hands raised as I pray for you tonight, and I pray for myself in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon us, because you said, ask and we shall receive, seek and we shall find, knock and it shall be opened. And we're committed, Father God, to stay within the remnant, as a part of the remnant. Stay, Lord, not trying to make ourselves peculiar, but we are already peculiar because we are already the remnant. We are a people asking, seeking, and knocking for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives every single day, believing we have it, moving and talking like we have it, praising and worshiping like we have it, witnessing like we have it. Hallelujah. Bless every single one of us. The Father God, in the same way that 120 people turned 3,000 people upside down, the right way up, that each one of us will find, will be found affecting other people through the Holy Spirit, leading them to the pool to be baptized, not just for them just to know and hear, but the Bible says they were baptized. May we be unsatisfied, uncontented, until we see individuals going into the pool as a result of the wonderful works of God in our lives. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.